Hello and welcome to 5 at 8. I'm Mark Overman and joining me today is Linda Carlisle. It's Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, and we have some great stories for you. In this episode, we'll talk about Evergrande's financial troubles in China, Pakistan conducting airstrikes in Afghanistan, global ocean surface temperatures breaking records, NASA's Parker Solar Probe approaching the sun, and British tech entrepreneur Mike Lynch facing trial in the U.S. Story number one. In a report from the BBC, Evergrande, a Chinese property giant, and its founder, Hui Ka-yan, have been accused of inflating revenues by $78 billion before defaulting on debt. The company's mainland business was fined $584 million, and Mr. Hui faces a potential lifetime ban from China's financial markets. Evergrande's financial troubles reflect broader challenges in China's real estate sector, impacting the country's economy. Could you believe this, Linda? Evergrande, one of the biggest property giants in China, and its founder have been accused of inflating their revenues by $78 billion in just 2 years. That's an astronomical figure. It makes me question how it's even possible for such a massive fraud to occur without getting noticed for so long.
Indeed, it is quite staggering, Mark. But unfortunately, this isn't an isolated case. We've seen similar instances of corporate fraud in the past. The Enron scandal, the 2008 mortgage crisis, and the Satyam scandal in India are all examples of this. These cases highlight the fact that even large corporations with seemingly robust financial structures can falter due to fraudulent activities.
That's a good point. So, Linda, in this case, what do you think were the main factors that allowed Evergrande's reported fraud to go undetected for such a long period?
There could be several reasons for that, Mark. One possibility is that the company's massive scale and complexity made it difficult for regulators to keep track of its activities. Additionally, the company may have employed sophisticated financial engineering techniques to disguise their fraudulent activities. It's also worth noting that regulatory oversight in China's real estate sector has traditionally been lax, which could have provided an enabling environment for such activities.
You know, that brings us to another crucial point. The role of regulatory bodies. In this case, China's financial markets regulator has imposed a hefty fine of $584 million on Evergrande's mainland business, Hengda Real Estate, and its founder is also facing a lifetime ban from China's financial markets. Do you think these measures are enough to deter such fraudulent activities in the future?
It's a start, Mark. But I would argue that fines and bans are only one part of the solution. To truly deter such behavior, regulatory bodies must also ensure transparency and accountability in these corporations. This involves strengthening corporate governance, improving disclosure practices, and fostering a corporate culture that values ethics and integrity. Additionally, the penalties imposed must be proportionate to the scale of the fraud committed to truly serve as a deterrent.
Well, that's a comprehensive solution, Linda. How about the economic and societal impact of such massive frauds? Given the significant role of Evergrande in China's real estate sector, the fallout must be huge.
The impact on the broader economy and society can be significant. For instance, we already know that Evergrande has over $300 billion of debt, which has implications for the financial stability of banks and other financial institutions that have lent to the company. There's also the human cost. Many people have invested their life savings in Evergrande's properties and could potentially lose their homes. So it's not just about the financial loss, but also about the disruption and stress it causes to individuals and communities.
Story number two. Pakistan conducted airstrikes in Afghanistan in retaliation for an attack by insurgents that killed 7 soldiers. The Afghan Taliban condemned the strikes, claiming they killed women and children. Tensions between Islamabad and Kabul have escalated, with Afghan forces targeting Pakistani military centers. The Afghan Taliban deny allowing Pakistani militants to operate from Afghanistan. Pakistan has expelled nearly 500,000 Afghans, drawing criticism from the international community. In a separate incident, Pakistani security forces killed 8 militants linked to the attack on soldiers, according to Washington Post. Where the world is headed, Linda, the news of Pakistani strikes on Afghan soil, just 2 days after insurgents killed 7 soldiers in northwestern Pakistan. It's a grim reminder of how easily things can escalate in this region.
Yes, it's a complex situation, deeply rooted in history and politics. These hostilities aren't new, but their intensity is certainly concerning. The insurgents' attack and Pakistan's retaliatory airstrikes are just the recent manifestations of a long-standing tension. The fact that this is happening post the Taliban takeover in Afghanistan adds another layer of complexity.
Right. And the Afghan Taliban's denouncement of the strikes as an aggression on Afghanistan's territorial integrity and their retaliation against Pakistan's military centers seems like a vicious cycle. And the civilians, they always bear the brunt, don't they?
In fact, the Taliban spokesperson reported that Monday's airstrikes resulted in the death of several women and children. Instances like these, they not only amplify the human cost, but also they fuel further resentment, leading to an intractable cycle of violence.
And speaking of cycles, Linda, the Pakistani Taliban, or TTP, has been ramping up attacks inside Pakistan, right? That's got to be ramping up the strain between Kabul and Islamabad.
Correct, Mark. The Afghan Taliban, though, insists they do not allow the TTP or any other militant group to use Afghanistan's soil to launch attacks. But the TTP's actions tell a different story, and that has indeed strained the relationship between the two countries.
And what about this move by Islamabad to expel Afghans living in Pakistan without valid documents? How does that play into this whole equation?
Oh, it certainly adds to the tensions, Mark. Pakistan has long been a host to a significant number of Afghan refugees, but the recent crackdown, resulting in the deportation of nearly 500,000 Afghans, has been met with international criticism. Such actions risk radicalizing those forced out, especially in the light of the deplorable conditions they returned to in Afghanistan. It's a deeply concerning situation, to say the least.
Story number three. Global ocean surface temperatures have been breaking daily records for a year due to human-caused global warming, marine heat waves, and El Niño. This has led to concerns for marine life, extreme weather events, and coral bleaching. The warmer oceans are fueling more powerful hurricanes and could result in a very active hurricane season. About 90% of excess heat from fossil fuels is stored in the oceans. El Niño is weakening, which may help level off the record ocean temperatures, as reported by CNN. Could you believe this, Linda? An entire year of record-breaking heat in the oceans. The data is clear. Our planet is warming up. But let's not forget that climate variations like El Niño also play a part in these temperature spikes. It's not all doom and gloom, though. I mean, El Niño is predicted to weaken soon, so things could balance out.
Well, Mark, while it's true that natural climate patterns contribute, we can't overlook the massive role of human-caused global warming. The burning of fossil fuels is leading to excess heat, most of which is stored in our oceans. And this is having catastrophic effects on marine life, like the unprecedented coral bleaching events happening globally. It's not as simple as waiting for El Niño to dissipate. We need to address our carbon emissions.
I hear you, Linda. Climate change is a real issue, and we should definitely reduce our carbon footprint. But we also need to think about the economic implications. Businesses are still reliant on fossil fuels, and transitioning to renewables is a costly endeavor. There needs to be a balance.
Mark, the cost of inaction could be far greater. We're looking at the potential loss of entire ecosystems, more extreme weather events, and the human cost that comes with that. It's beyond just economics at this point. It's about the survival of our planet and future generations.
The stakes are high. And I guess we need to rethink our approach to this issue and explore more sustainable ways of doing business. Maybe it's time for a bit of creative disruption in the way we generate energy.
Innovation and sustainable practices are key. It's a complex issue, but with concerted effort, we can mitigate the effects of climate change and protect our oceans. It's a challenge we must rise to, for our planet and for our future.
Story number four. NASA's Parker solar probe is set to make its closest pass to the sun on December 24th, coming within 3.8 million miles. The $1.4 billion mission aims to study the sun's atmosphere and advance American aerospace technology. The spacecraft is equipped with a heat shield and solar panels to protect it from the sun's extreme conditions. The probe has already gathered valuable data about the sun's corona. And upcoming observations during a total eclipse could help solve mysteries about the sun's behavior. The mission is named after astrophysicist Eugene Parker, who passed away in 2022, according to the Washington Post. So, talking about this NASA mission, it's just mind-boggling to think about how they're sending a spacecraft, practically within touching distance of the sun. It's like a real-life Icarus story, except, you know, hopefully without the tragic ending.
But unlike Icarus, NASA has equipped the Parker Solar Probe with some seriously advanced technology like that heat shield. I mean, it can withstand temperatures of 2,500 degrees while keeping the spacecraft at a comfortable 89 degrees. That's truly remarkable.
You're spot on there, Linda. And it's not just about the heat shield, right? The whole mission is a testament to human ingenuity. Consider the complicated dance they're doing with Venus to gradually get the spacecraft closer to the sun. It's like a cosmic ballet, choreographed with the precision of a Swiss watch.
And it's not just about the spectacle of it all. There's serious science at stake here. Understanding the sun's corona, for instance, could revolutionize our understanding of space weather, which, as we're becoming a more technological society, becomes increasingly important.
Yeah, I mean, imagine a solar storm on the scale of the Carrington event hitting us today. It could knock out satellites, disable the electrical grid. It would be catastrophic. We really need to better understand these phenomena to protect ourselves.
Exactly. And let's not forget about the subtle undertones of this mission. The advancements in American aerospace technology, the competition with other countries. It's a fascinating interplay of scientific curiosity and geopolitical considerations.
And you know, to me, that's what makes these missions so exciting. They're not just about exploring the cosmos, they're also about pushing the boundaries of what's possible here on Earth. It's the spirit of innovation and discovery that drives us forward as a species.
It's a thrilling time to be alive, witnessing these incredible feats of human achievement and pondering what they might mean for our future.
Story number 5. British tech entrepreneur Mike Lynch is facing trial in the U.S. for allegedly inflating the value of his software firm, Autonomy, when he sold it to Hewlett-Packard in 2011. Lynch denies the fraud charges, and his attorney claims that the real reason for the company's write-down was HP's mismanagement. The trial comes after Lynch's extradition to the U.S. and a civil fraud case in the U.K., according to the BBC, reports state. Would you believe it, Linda? Mike Lynch, once touted as Britain's Bill Gates, now standing trial for fraud. The man's accused of artificially inflating the value of his software firm Autonomy when selling it to Hewlett-Packard back in 2011. This case is a stark reminder of the importance of businesses operating within the bounds of the law and maintaining integrity at all costs.
Well, Mark, while I agree that businesses should operate within the law, I think it's important to remember that Mike Lynch has denied these claims. The defense is arguing that the write-down was a result of HP's mismanagement of the merger, not fraudulent activity on Lynch's part. So it's a complicated situation.
Sure, it's complicated, I get that. But, you know, we're talking about a potential 25-year prison sentence here. That's not a slap on the wrist. The severity of the charges suggests there's more to this than just a botched merger.
I understand what you're saying, Mark, but it's worth noting that the U.S. has a particularly punitive approach to white-collar crime. Lynch fought hard against the extradition, and it's hard not to wonder if he'd be facing the same level of punishment had he stood trial here in the UK.
Well, that's the thing, Linda. Maybe the UK isn't tough enough when it comes to white-collar crime. Perhaps if we were stricter, we wouldn't see so many cases like this. The financial implications can be devastating, not just for the companies involved, but for the economy as a whole.
I see where you're coming from, Mark. But I think it's also important to consider the human element. The accusations against Lynch are serious, but we mustn't forget that he's innocent until proven guilty. Let's not rush to judgment before all the evidence has been presented.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.